Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Cry for help, the Lord hears
and delivers them out of all their troubles.
Thank you.
Let us pray.
Almighty God, you show mercy to your people in all their troubles. Grant us always to recognize your goodness, give thanks for your compassion, and praise your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Angel's Tide is from the book of Ruth, the first chapter. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. This is the word of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding.
His praise endures forever.
Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart.
In the company of the upright, in the congregation.
Great are the works of the Lord.
Studied by all who delight in them.
Full of splendor and majesty is his work. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered.
The Lord is gracious and merciful.
He provides food for those who fear him.
He remembers his covenant forever.
He has shown his people the power of his works.
In giving them the inheritance of the nations.
The works of his hands are faithful and just.
All All these precepts are trustworthy.
They are established forever and ever.
To be performed with faithfulness and uprightness.
He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever.
Holy and awesome is his name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding.
His praise endures forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding.
His praise endures forever.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's second letter to Timothy, the second chapter. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. This is the word of the Lord.
According to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw to them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord. What do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of
one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end.
And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
And peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text from the epistle reading, the reading of St. Paul to Timothy, the pastor, saying, "You, my child, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the seed of David. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." This is our text. Reading 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, or Titus feels a little bit like eavesdropping. It's not even just like eavesdropping, but it's more like we're reading someone else's mail. Because this is a letter that St. Paul has written to Timothy, the seasoned pastor and church planter, writing to the young pastor and his congregation. Now, we do have their permission to read this mail. In fact, we have more than their permission. They've given us these letters because they want us to hear them. And how do we know that? Because the Christian church has long recognized that St. Paul wrote these letters moved by the Holy Spirit. They are inspired scripture. When we read a letter like this, it's worth asking the question, what's the primary concern behind the writing of this letter? What's the main issue that St. Paul was worried about? It starts in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, when he writes to Timothy, "Don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." Do not be ashamed. Why would Timothy be ashamed? Why would he be ashamed of the gospel? Why would he be ashamed of Paul, his mentor and teacher? Perhaps because Paul had been persecuted from place to place to place on his journeys, suffering beatings, scorn, mockery, all sorts of things. And now finally he's been imprisoned for the gospel. He is, as St. Paul says, in chains. That might be something causing Timothy to be ashamed. Or perhaps Timothy is ashamed because this message that they bear, the king whom they proclaim, Jesus, is a king who is not recognized by the authorities, by the Romans, by the Jews, or by anyone. There are great pressures on Paul, on Timothy, and on Christians in general. It is an unlawful religion, not acceptable in polite society. You're not going to gain any standing by being a Christian. And for preaching Christ, Paul was treated as a criminal, soon to be a martyr. Do not be ashamed. It's also the case that St. Paul says in this letter that many had deserted him. Many of his students, many of his followers, many of the Christians were no longer following Paul. Perhaps were staying away from him in prison, not wanting to share letters or news with him, not wanting to hear from him, wanting to keep him at a distance, not willing to suffer with him. St. Paul endured many trials, not the least of which was this being abandoned by those whom he had taught and loved. Will Timothy do the same? Do not be ashamed over Christ and his gospel means do not shrink away, Timothy. Do not shrink away from your calling to proclaim this Christ to a world that is dying. And do not be ashamed to suffer persecution, hatred, or anything else for the sake of Christ. We may think that we have it hard in our day, but I dare say that Timothy also had it hard. There were pressures and forces potentially causing him to shrink away, potentially causing him to shy away from identifying himself as a Christian or doing his duty of proclaiming Christ. Will Timothy be a coward? Will he abandon the calling that he has? Will he allow the sheep under his care to go astray? It is a battle that St. Paul sees. Though he doesn't name the enemies specifically here, Timothy is in a battle. And Paul is charging him to be a good and noble soldier. And he knows that soldiers are sometimes afraid. Soldiers are sometimes tempted to cowardice. Soldiers are sometimes tempted to shrink back from the challenge. But Paul says, Timothy, Jesus is our general. And you have been enlisted as a good soldier under him. And you are surrounded by many others. Be what God has given you to be, a noble soldier of Jesus Christ. The pressures are no less significant in our time. If you came to hear a sales pitch for Christianity, I cannot give you one. It won't ever be a walk in the park. It won't be smooth sailing. You will likely not be held in high esteem or in great regard by others. Certainly, Christianity among many is a source of mockery, despising, And it can be hard and demanding to be a Christian. There often will be suffering. All of those things are true, but also this, that Christianity is true, and it is good, and it is beautiful, even if the world cannot see it. But we face the same danger, the same temptation to avoid our faith, the same temptation to shrink back from our faith, from practicing it, or downplaying it and minimizing it. The temptation really is this, to blend in with the world, so that no one would know or see that we are a Christian. The temptation to hold our faith in our heart, but keep it there so that it cannot be seen or heard by others. But you are here because your allegiance is different than the allegiance of the world. The world has other gods. It listens to other generals. You have Jesus as your Lord. You have him as your general. And you know where he has been, and you know where he is going. What are the gods of this world that we are tempted to follow? What are the gods that we are being enticed to give our allegiance to day after day and hour after hour? They are the same old gods. Money, sex, war and violence, the self. These are the gods that would claim our allegiance when Christ has already made us his own. And so we ask the question today, is it our desire as Christians to fit in with the world? That is the temptation that Timothy faced. Or are we willing as Christians to stick out even like a sore thumb if need be? St. Paul writes to Timothy, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Be strengthened by the grace. That is the strength that Timothy needs, and that is the strength that you and I need. Grace in this sense of God's unmerited favor extended to us, though we too often have shrunk back, too often we have been cowardly. And yet God's grace is extended to us, full and free. We have his favor because of what Christ has done. Our sins are canceled, our guilt has been taken away, and God would shower upon us all his gifts and his blessings, including these three images that he gives, three little pictures that he gives of what life is like for Pastor Timothy and for us as Christians. That of a combat soldier, a competing athlete, and a hard-working farmer. And I would venture to guess that each of us, if we cannot relate to all three, can probably relate to one of them. Perhaps you've been in the military. Perhaps you were an athlete. Perhaps you have had or have now a farm. St. Paul says to Timothy, "Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. A soldier suffers often what is bad in the line of duty in doing their work. Being a soldier is never sold as a great and glorious thing that is free of suffering. When a recruiter goes out, he encourages young people to enlist by setting before them the noble task of carrying out their duty and of serving others. Soldiers go through many difficult things. But what marks a soldier is this: they are faithful to follow the command they are given, regardless of the suffering involved. St. Paul reminds Timothy and us that we are in the church militant right now. We are in a war and a battle, not against flesh and blood, but against the devil and his works and his ways. And we are called to be good soldiers too, to follow the orders and commands of our superior, to endure and to be single-minded in our devotion to him. Our one aim is to please the one who has enlisted us, who has enlisted you through holy baptism. And so we are encouraged today to not allow other things to distract or to tempt us, but rather, like a soldier, to see ourselves by baptism and by communion enlisted in our Lord's army, and following after him, wherever he may lead. There is the image of the athlete as well. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. There is a crown at the end, as the athlete proves when he contends lawfully. It is perseverance that brings the athlete through. I think here of a marathon runner. Often when we think of a marathon, it is not simply the winner that gets the glory, but anyone who is able to finish and make it through. It doesn't matter if it took you 4 hours and 30 minutes instead of 1 hour and 50 minutes. It is enough to cross the finish line. And that is the image Paul gives here, not of being athletes where we are competing with one another, but of that idea of running a race with perseverance, running according to the rules that our God has set out, running as those who run underneath the reign of the King, Jesus Christ. And finally, the image of the farmer. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. The farmer, before he pays what is due to others, before he gives to others, he must have for himself. There are fruits to be enjoyed from the toil he expends. And God would have us enjoy the fruits of his grace and his mercy. Our God would have us receive first from him what he would call us to share with others, that we might be sustained by what he gives. We are called not to be absentee landlords. We are called not to be those who are separated from the work that God has in his harvest field, but rather to enjoy what he gives to us, that we may be filled to give to others. And then he says this: remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. Note that Paul is not ashamed of his chains. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, which means also his death on the cross for us, the offspring of David, true God and also true man. Remember him, as preached in Paul's gospel. Remember Jesus Christ, who himself was a good and noble soldier, not in the way that he fought back, but in the way that he did his duty and carried it out to the end. The Father in heaven, who sent our Lord for us and for our salvation, and Jesus Christ, who endured suffering even to the point of death on the cross, that he might carry out his duty and commission from his Father. Our Lord, who engaged in that struggle, the athletic contest, when we think about him in the Garden of Gethsemane, kneeling down in agony, the word for an athletic event, sweating great drops of blood. Our Lord knows what it is to have his heart race. He knows what it is to be under stress and pressure. He knows what it is to strive with all his being, because he did it for you. And our Lord, who like a farmer, sowed the seed and enjoyed the first fruits of resurrection from the dead, that he might bring us as well through death to life everlasting. Our Lord, who sowed the seed and scattered it broad, that we may know his word. And now we have this saying, which is trustworthy: if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. We remember someone who is risen from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is alive indeed, who is here today with us and for us. And we remember too that through baptism we were buried with him into death, and we were raised with him to new life. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if we have died with him, And St. Paul would have us know it already has happened. It is an accomplished fact. By your baptism, you have died with Christ. So the second part is true. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. This promise is for you, a promise from your God, that he will see you through to the end. As you live your life as a good soldier under Christ, as you run the race with perseverance, as you seek to do the work of gathering in the harvest, you have his promise. But even more, you have this Christ. And you have the promise that he is faithful, and he will ever and always be faithful to his word and to his promises. He will not deny himself. If we have been faithless, if we have been cowardly, if we have been tempted to shrink back from our faith, if we have thought of being a Christian as something that is only true for an hour on Sunday, if we have hid it in our heart instead of putting it in our lips and in our hands, he remains faithful. And the faithful one is here for you today. He is here with his forgiveness. He is here with his mercy. He is here with the faithfulness that will have no end. He is here and he is faithful to you so that you can be a good soldier in a war whose outcome is already determined. You know, our D-Day has already happened, and our Lord has taken back the land, and he is pushing the enemy away. We know how this will end. Our Lord is faithful as you are an athlete running in a race that has already been won. Already your Lord has crossed the finish line and he has done it for you. So you will not fail. And our Lord is faithful that we might be farmers, knowing what the harvest will bring, enjoying its fruits now in this life and in the life of the world to come. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, and remember that if we are faithless, as we too often have been, he is faithful to forgive, to save, to heal, and he is faithful to help us endure to the end. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call upon the name of the Lord.
O Lord, thy strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Faithful Lord, by your Holy Spirit, teach us constantly to pray, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Teach us to trust you, that you have cleansed us by his blood. Lead us, like the leper who was saved, to praise you with joy for your loving care. Like Ruth, to be faithful as she was to Naomi, that we may be faithful to you, and like Timothy, to be a good soldier. Lord, in your mercy. God of truth, have mercy on those whom you have called to proclaim your holy gospel. Preserve our pastors and the pastors of your church from useless entanglements. Strengthen them in faithfulness when they must suffer, and remind them always that your word is not bound. Bless and guide also our missionaries, especially Michael and Nancy Jane Maurizio, and the Reverend John and Melinda Bombaro, that they would be upheld in every good work for the sake of Christ and his gospel. Lord, in your mercy. God of hope, if we are faithless, you remain faithful, for you cannot deny yourself. Remember those whom you called your own through baptism, especially those who have wandered away from your promises and departed from the faith. Grant them penitent hearts, that they might obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, your servant Ruth faithfully cared for Naomi in her solitude and later years. Bless all adult children with wisdom and compassion as they care for aging parents, and give their parents a humble spirit to accept the support they need. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty Savior, bring to an end all war and violence. Guide and protect those who defend us against our enemies, those who preserve order against the threat of terror, and those who sit in judgment over evildoers, that justice and peace may prevail, and we may all work together for the common good. Help those who serve in our armed forces to lead lives of integrity and honor, and protect them in all times of danger. Especially we pray for Anthony, Brandon, Scott, Kay, Tim, Jeremy, Robin, Jake, John, Dalton, Ryan, Lucia, Andrea, Megan, John, Stephen, and Emily. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, look with mercy on those affected by Hurricane Ian. Protect the vulnerable. Be with all emergency responders and victims. Enable your church to meet the present and future needs in those areas, and lead your people to confess your Son, that those affected may know of his presence with them during this time of devastation. Lord, in your mercy. God of all help, you hear the cries of the righteous and deliver them from their troubles and fears. Remember all who cry to you for mercy, especially Craig and Sally, Al, Hattie, David, Kyle and his parents Tim and Christina, baby Amara and Alyssa, the family and friends of Ed, including the saints at Christ Lutheran Church, Robert, John, Karen, Lucy, Sherry, Ed, Alicia, Nancy, Ted, Gwen, Anthony, Michelle, Stan, Matthew, and Luann. Help each of them according to your good and gracious will. And we give you thanks also for hearing our prayers on behalf of Anne, for preserving her life and restoring her health. Strengthen and keep her, that she may lead a life of thanksgiving and praise to you. Lord, in your mercy. God of all compassion, as your Son visited and cleansed the 10 lepers, grant that he would visit us with his body and blood this day, cleansing us of sin and filling our mouths with thanks and praise. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, grant that we may with grateful hearts receive all these things according to your merciful will. Lead us to respond with voices of praise and thanksgiving, and lives of holiness and righteousness, that our lives might display the faith that lives in our hearts. Give us faith that works in love, hope that does not disappoint, compassion that does not fail, and unwavering confidence in your mercy, that we may live in faith all our days and at length fall asleep in the arms of your mercy and in everlasting peace. Through Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Reading today is from Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Be strong in the Lord and in strength in his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all preservation, making supplication for all the saints. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil.
Thank you.
Depart in peace.
Thank you.
to the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank and praise you for feeding us the life-giving body and blood of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Send us your Holy Spirit, that having with our mouths received the Holy Sacrament, we may by faith obtain and eternally enjoy your divine grace, the forgiveness of sins, unity with Christ, and life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless me the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.